What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another Brand Doctor podcast. Today's conversation is going to be very enlightening. I met this beautiful soul, I would say about a month ago. There was a guy that came on the show. What's his name? Donnie Bouvin. And he had put me in touch with this networking group up in Massachusetts. And he said, go and meet those folks. They're a bunch of go-getters. It's a bunch of high-energy folks and great business owners up there. Go in there and go introduce yourself and connect with those folks. So I went up there, and I normally don't do that. I'm like, it's just going to be another Zoom call for another hour and blah, blah, blah. But some told me to go into that group and introduce myself and meet these folks. And when I did, I was blown away by the camaraderie. I was blown away by the genuity that every single member of this group had. And there was this one individual that really stuck out, and she, no surprise, was the leader of the group. And so I said, well, let me rewind. They all go around the circle and they basically they put out their ask for the week, right? And this individual said, I want to get out there on stage more. I have a story to tell. I have so much to bring to people's lives. And so I'm looking to get in front of larger audiences. And I said, you know what? Let's have her on the show. Your wish is my command. So we scheduled it up, and I'm so excited that she's here today to share with us her backstory, which I have no idea about. All I know is she has a compilation of businesses that she has created over the years. She is a mother of three beautiful children and a wife for, I'm reading the bio and it doesn't have the years in there. So you have to clarify that for me.
10 years.
Wow. Yeah. You're catching up to me, girl. So this woman is not afraid to get out there and show the world what she has. And today's episode's all about thanking your past instead of living in it. Because as I mentioned to our guest before we started, you know, we're going into some uncharted territory. We're going into some turbulence, whether it be the economy, the recession, the inflation, all this stuff going on. And there may be things going on in your life right now that, you know what, is holding you back. And the reason why you're being held back is because of your past. And this conversation is going to be fruitful, I think, for all of us, because it'll remind us that we're not living there anymore. We're living now. And that is the best time of our lives. So without further ado, I want to introduce Jen Potter to the show. What is going on, girl?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm pumped. I am so pumped. So let's dive in. I mean, please give the audience a little heads up on your entrepreneurial assets here, because there is quite a few of them. So please give us a quick little backstory of how you've created this little empire of yours.
It's funny because when you start a business, you don't know how it's going to evolve. You don't know where it's going to go. And, you know, a few years ago, I had this idea for a babysitting company. And I said this was going to be my first company, but it was something that didn't exist. Babysitting companies exist all over the country, but we are an actual full service babysitting where everyone works for me. And we also are an agency. But when I first started prior to COVID, nobody had this idea, and I was so scared someone was going to steal it. So I started a t-shirt company. I started a motivational t-shirt company called Beautiful Collective. And it's about inspiring and empowering women to be you, to be yourself, to stop living in someone else's shadow and accept your body exactly the way it is. everything about yourself. And I started that company to prove to myself I could have a bigger business. And it's not that I needed to prove anything to my husband, because I know I never had to, but I always would say, well, I'm doing this to show my husband that I can start a big business. And if this is successful, he'll be willing to let me invest our money in it, right? Because I had to invest a lot of our personal savings, and I had to turn to him and be like, hey, if I start this business, we have to take all our money out of savings, and I can't like technically work. I'm not going to collect a pay for a year or two. What do you think? And when I first told him, he's like, I don't know if I'm on board with this. Okay. So I spent a few years creating this business plan for a babysitting company. I decided to get pregnant, and 3 months later, COVID hit. Literally 2 weeks after I launched my company. So we started the company, and then we closed the doors almost instantaneously. And it was one of those things where I had to recreate my business literally on a pivot. And when we realized that healthcare workers needed childcare, it wasn't just full service babysitting anymore. We needed to create something different and be able to find a nanny or a babysitter at a drop of a dime. Hiring was very difficult at first because everyone was collecting, you know, the government's money. So people were like, well, why am I going to work? I'm getting paid already. So that was a little difficult. In 2020, when COVID dropped, like when we were going through the midst of it, I think I finished the year with maybe 4 employees. I actually launched in November of 2020 and had 2 full-time employees and 2 part-time employees that were like as needed babysitters. By the time 2021 ended, I hired and placed over 150 childcare providers. So it was this, oh my goodness, it went from this little tiny idea to have a date night babysitter to all of these placements, which was absolutely incredible. And through the midst of it, I started something else. Everyone needed someone to clean their house because now they're all working from home. Their kids are home and everything's super dirty. So halfway through 2021, I started offering cleaning services, and it became so needed that in the beginning of 2022, I looked at my cleaning manager and I was like, hey, what do you think if we separate the companies? What if we start a cleaning company? And she's like, absolutely. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do one post. I did one post. I got so busy. I think I had to hire 6 or 7 employees within 4 weeks.
Wow.
So it literally overnight, I actually try not to post because we just get so slammed. And I'm so grateful for it because I didn't realize how much we were in the community until I posted that. And so we have the house cleaning company. And, you know, it's crazy. Like, I have all of these things. And in the background, I actually am, and I don't even think I even mentioned this in the bio, I do business mentoring for a local program called E4All. It's actually all over the country. It's Entrepreneurship for All. And it's a free program that offers business mentorship for people who are starting business or in business. And that's how I got started. I had the support and mentorship of this program to guide me through a business. They guided my t-shirt company through it. And once I finished, I was like, wow, I have all the tools in my pocket to start a business, start another business. And it was no surprise that I became a mentor, and I've been doing it for years because I firmly believe that mentorship is super important. And I started my own business coaching company in the background. I don't even advertise for it. People usually will come out to me and be like, I need a mentor. I'm like, I got a person. and that's one of my favorite things to do. I love watching other people succeed. And I'm sure you can feel that energy when we're in our networking meeting. Like, I also am a territory leader for Success Champion Networking. And I just, there's something about watching people succeed that just, like, I get goosebumps and I just want to see them like elevate to the top. You know, so many businesses don't collaborate. And for me, collaboration is so, so big. I want to work with everyone. I want to sit up at the top with everyone and watch everybody rise. So those are the main things that I do. I mean, I think, you know, I think I said it in my bio too. I just want to keep on taking more. I want to do more and do more. And, you know, speaking is something that comes very natural to me. Shocking, right? And I have a message. I have, you know, a lot going on from my past and even my adulthood. And I want to get that message out. And I want to let other people know that they're not alone. That you can come from nothing and be something so big. And like you said, people live in their past. And
Yeah.
And that's where I was.
Yeah. I want to get into that because I think that's really going to, well, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, I want to get into that past because I think that's where everything's going to start to get much clearer for the audience on where this ambition and this inspiration and this wanting to see people succeed. So take us through the journey of childhood and let us understand, you know, where you've come from. So we know where you are presently.
So I am originally from New Bedford, Massachusetts, and anyone who knows anything about New Bedford, Whaling City, capital of the world, awesome place to visit, great, great community. Growing up, it wasn't that great. I, you know, lived in projects. I lived in low income housing as a child. I, you know, my parents were super young when they had me. My mom was 16. My dad was 20. So they were children themselves having a baby. And I was brought up literally by children. And so growing up right out the gate, there was a lot. My mom was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And so that was really tough. She was also very abusive. So as a child, I took a brunt of that. I had other siblings. I had my brothers, and I was, you know, their protector. So I was the one that kind of stood in front of all of that. And as a child, my mom used to tell me that if I told my father, and this is something that it was always hard for me to say out loud. And when I finally told my dad, he actually didn't believe me because she used to tell me, if you tell your father, I will kill him in his sleep. Mm. And she's like, you know, she broke my nose. She shot me with a BB gun. She did all kinds of awful things to me as a child, like physically abused me and verbally, and used to tell me like that she would hurt my brothers, that she would kill my dad, that, you know, I could never say anything. So it was always a secret as a child. So right out the gate, like I had to like pick up this empathetic, like sixth sense that I tell everyone. So I'm a very empathetic person. I don't like to be touched. I don't, you know, I'm big on energy. We talk about the universe. I always tell people, I'm like, listen, you're going to think I'm weird. However, I'm really big on the universe and listening to the universe. And, you know, growing up, I had to pick up on, okay, is she going to hurt me? Is she going to hurt my siblings? Like, is she going to have a good day today? Is she going to have a bad day? And that pretty much all happened up until I was about 7 or 8 years old. She got diagnosed with cancer. So it slowed down a little bit, but it actually got worse when she got diagnosed with cancer because the drinking picked up more. She did a lot more drugs, and I was witness to a lot of things that no child should ever be witness to. So I was kind of set up for a failure right out the gate. And, you know, there wasn't a huge support system. I always say that it was a blessing in disguise when my mom decided to leave my dad. I think I was about 10, but she was still in my life. So it took up until I was about in high school before I was able to kind of push a lot of that away. But by then I was so broken that I always lived in a fight or flight type of situation. And I always felt like I needed to protect my dad and protect my brothers. So I never really said anything till I got older. And, you know, there's so many layers that are beneath all of that story. But that's, you know, the foundation of who I became. I became super quiet, and I was that awkward kid. I was uncomfortable around other people. I was scared to make friends. I was really scared to let anybody know about any of my past. Like, I didn't want them to know about my mom. I didn't want them to know that, like, if it wasn't for the Salvation Army and, you know, the food kitchen, that we wouldn't have had dinner. Like, we lived in houses that had, you know, fleas and cockroaches and all the things. And, you know, my kids see a bug now and they scream, and me, I'm just like, well, you know, they were everywhere.
If it's not going to carry us out of the house, I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah. We were somewhere and there was like a bug that, you know, was like crawling. We were away on vacation and I was like, oh my God, is that a cockroach? And my daughter's like, what's a cockroach? And I'm like, thank God you're almost 10 and you don't know what that is. So that was just like almost like a instant flashback for me, because I was just like, good, my kids don't know what any of this is. That's a good thing. And, you know, I wanted to shield my children from my past, and I didn't want them to know. And they don't really know much about my past. But as I talk about it and I write about it, they're going to get older and they're going to know about it. But it's so important for them to know where I came from and where they came from, because that's made me the mom that I am. It makes me the person that I am. And, you know, it's so important to me as a person to kind of start talking about those things. I'm not the only person that got physically abused by a parent. I'm not the only person that lived in the ghetto. I'm not the only person that, you know, was a kid on food stamps. But we're so ashamed of those things, right? And I remember, I tell this story to everybody. When I met my husband on my first date, I looked at him and I said, I'm going to ask you one big favor. Do not judge me on my past. And he brings it up all the time, because I am that person now that I'll look at someone and, can I swear?
Sure. Hang on.
All right, perfect.
If I can't swear, I can't talk. Like, you're good.
Well, I probably already dropped a bunch, but not really realized it. But trying to be respectful too, because I am a sailor. But, you know, I'm that type of person that I'm like, I just don't give a fuck anymore. You know, if someone doesn't like me, that's on you. You're going to talk about me? That's great. That's free advertising. You know, so I finally got to the point in my life that I stopped holding that weight of what you think of me, about what somebody else thinks of me. If you think I'm great, that's great. If you think I'm a shitty person, that's okay too. I really don't care. I'm going to still sleep the same way I sleep at night. And I was holding on to my past so much that I was scared to become the person that I am today. You know, even when I get on in front of, you know, an audience and I'm on a podcast and I'm like, whew, I'm so nervous that it's going to be live. And Jim's like, why are you nervous? He's like, it's just like any other recording. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm excited. And he's like, just do the things you normally do. You do them all the time. I used to tell Donnie, is actually one of my mentors, and I would tell him all the time, I'm really nervous to get back on stage. And he's like, but you've done it before. And I'm really nervous to be successful. And he's like, Jen, you are successful. And I'm like, am I? And, you know, then I stop and I go, you know what? I think I am. But I was always so scared to be the person that I already am, if that makes any sense. And there's so many of us out there that feel ashamed of things that they have had happen to them, which they had no control over. Therefore, they're trying to claim responsibility for it.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, living in your past. I started my relationship off with my husband by saying, don't judge me. Like, Where, what was I thinking and what was I holding on to that, you know, my parent, and like I said, there's layers. And as I would tell a story, I would kind of like wait for his reaction. Like, is he going to say something? Is he going to think like I'm batshit crazy? I'm like, well, I may be, but, the doctors think I'm normal. you know, so it was really tough for me to kind of get over that hump. And then something happened to me a few years ago. Our relationship wasn't that great, because I was starting to, you know, figure out who I was as a person. And I started working on me. My husband started working on him, but we stopped working on ourselves together. And we started to drift apart. And we created a lot of animosity and a lot of things, because I don't believe in compromise. And every time I have this conversation with people, they're like, well, you have to compromise in a relationship. I'm like, I'm 10 years in. There's a reason why we're this successful, is because we don't compromise the things that are important to us. And I believe that there's a healthy balance. Like, I'll hear him out, but his response whenever I say anything, I'm like, I want to go fly to, I don't know, California for this show. And he's like, well, you know, he's like, well, you're going to do it anyways, but I just want you to hear my side and listen to the pros and cons and then make a decision, but you're going to do whatever you want to do anyways. But we're at that point in our relationship now because we went through like this craziness. Sure. But what ended up happening in that time frame where I was this person trying to figure out who I am, it's when all of my businesses started to, like, you know, come together. It's when our relationship started to get better, was I got a life coach. I was so against it. I'm like, I probably should, you know, go speak to a therapist, but I didn't want a therapist anymore. I did that my whole life. I'm like, I need to speak to someone motivational. And I met this woman, Lauren, at a BNI networking meeting. And on the first day that I met her, I'm like, I don't know if I can fit this into my schedule. I don't know if I should be here. And she goes, if you want something badly, you will always make it happen. And that stuck out to me, right? And She was like, you will find the babysitter. You will find the time. You will make it happen. And that alone stuck out. And then I got to know her, and she was a life coach. And every time she'd talk, I would get like goosebumps because something would resonate. Mm. And so I finally approached her and I was like, hey, we need to have some conversations. And I hired her as a life coach. And I consider her a good friend. I, you know, whenever something happens, I'm like, look at what I'm doing. And she's like, of course, you were meant to do these things. And she's such a great supporter of me. And every time someone's going through something in life, I'm like, you need a Lauren in your life. Because part of the coaching was I would apologize so much on our call. We would have a video call and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm 5 minutes late. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry about this. Oh, I interrupted her. I'm so sorry. And I would just apologize so, so much that every time I'd apologize, she'd say, stop, say thank you. And there's a time and a place to apologize. You know, if you're late to a meeting, that person's time is super important. Apologize to them for being late. Their time is valuable, but thank them for staying. Thank them for still allowing you to be a part of this next conversation. You know, so you don't always have to be an asshole and, you know, be unapologetic. But I think it's super important to recognize that, you know, if we're talking and I accidentally interrupt you, or, oh, thank you so much, didn't mean to interrupt, I don't need to say I'm sorry. And if, you know, you might have been on the phone call with Tim when he kept apologizing, which is, again, this is the universe, right? There's no such thing as a coincidence. And we're on the call and our education coordinator went like a minute over his 3 minutes. I'm not really keeping track of time, friends. Like, yes, the meeting's going to end, but if we have to end halfway through, like, that's totally cool. Mm-hmm. But he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I ran over. And I was like, just say thank you. Yeah. And then like, he started talking about something else and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I kept talking. I'm like, just say thank you for listening. And then the third time he said, I'm sorry. I'm like, Tim, I'm going to walk out this front door. I'm going to cross. He lives across the street from me. I'm like, I'm going to cross the street and I'm going to strangle your goddamn neck. Just stop apologizing. And it was that meeting, which again, no coincidence. It was that meeting that night that I'm laying in bed and I've been stuck at like 60% of the book that I'm writing, which I'm so excited about. And I'm laying there and I'm like, well, I'm telling my story, but there has to be some kind of lesson I'm supposed to teach. I don't know what it is. And I keep saying like, there's supposed to be a lesson. Like nobody wants to just hear about my story. How did I get here? And then I'm laying there and I sat straight up. It's 11:30 at night. My husband's not a night person, but I totally am. And I sat straight up and I was just like, hey, I know what I'm supposed to talk about. And he's like, it's 11:30 at night. Like, tell me tomorrow. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I know what it is. And he's like, what? And he's like, kind of angry, tired, angry. Mm-hmm. And he just looks at me. He's like, he sits up. He's like, okay, what is it? And I start crying. And anyone who knows me, I am empathetic, but there's not a sympathy bone in my body. And I blame that on my childhood because I come from a broken past where like something happens and I'm like, eh, shit happens. People die. Like, I don't really cry. And I started crying hysterically. And he's like, you okay? Are you sure? Like, it's just about your book. He's like, is it that time of the month? Is it a full moon? Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I said, I'm supposed to talk about the power of thanking your past because I wouldn't, and I'm going to get emotional.
It's okay.
I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't thank my past. You know, I, up until this point in the past few years, I always would say, I'm so grateful. And being grateful and thankful are very interchangeable. But I'm not grateful that I was beaten the shit out of as a child. But I'm thankful that I came out of it. I'm thankful for the opportunity to learn from it. And I'm thankful that if those things didn't happen, I wouldn't be able to help other people going through the same thing as me. And it was in that moment that I was like, if I didn't thank my past, I wouldn't be where I am. And it instantly hit me about being thankful, not necessarily grateful. And this is how I'm supposed to tell my story. And I think we even had a conversation about it. And, you know, to stop apologizing. It's so quick. You know, there's a few famous authors and motivational speakers that, you know, talk about apologizing, but in a different context, you know, being not necessarily stop apologizing completely, but owning that apology and also thanking the things that we have gone through, living in that past moment, those things that we constantly revert back to. Well, as a kid, I you're not a kid anymore. Mm. You're a 40-year-old mm-hmm. living in your life, and you want to move forward. I was talking to another podcaster this morning, and it was just a virtual coffee, and we were talking about me and my book and all of the things, and he gave me so many awesome ideas. I'm so pumped about it. Can't wait to talk about it. But we were talking about just being apologetic and being sorry and all of the things. And he was such a motivational person and just had so many great inspiring things to say about, I totally lost my train of thought about our past and how we're in the moment. And it's no coincidence that this podcast kind of rolled into that topic, and it was just ironic how it happened. And it was just awesome. It was really, really awesome.
So that paints a very vivid photo picture, right? Of where you're at, where you've come from and to what brought you here today to share this story. Now, so many people would take that story and bury it, right?
I buried it for a long time.
Yeah. You're not alone. There's probably thousands of people that are listening right now going, yeah, I buried that story. There's plenty of stories I buried. And no matter how deep you dig, it comes back up.
Oh, yeah.
So how, what gives you the strength to share this story? Because I could pick a dozen people right now that would say, I wouldn't have said any of that. That is petrifying to me that there would be a moment that I would have to share some of those dark moments. I know somebody in my life that doesn't want to be known for his ethnicity. He just wants to be known as Italian. Huh. Meanwhile, his mother's from Spain, right? Can't tell anybody about that. We're Italian. Why? Why are you afraid of that? So yeah. So that's where I want to go with this conversation is what gives people the strength? What gives people the strength? What gave you the strength to come out and say, I want to share this because this is going to help hundreds, if not thousands, of other people in this world?
I think because it helped me. And I thought in my 30s, I went through even my 30s, I was diagnosed with a heart condition. And I went through a boatload of things in my 30s, and I'm not 40 yet. I'm only 39. But I will be 40 within the year. And, I thought my life was over. I went through some really scary times. I almost died having my daughter, and going through everything I went through, doctors telling me I couldn't do certain things. And I thought, when I started this journey of telling my story, that I was going to tell my story from time I turned 29, like from 29 on, that's what we're going to talk about. I ran the Boston Marathon. I was a runner. I did, I started becoming, more athletic in my late 20s. I became a mom and a wife. And then my husband kept saying, but that's not how you got where you are. So I'll give him credit. I'll give him a little bit of credit.
Jim, you're a good guy, Jim. We all love you, Jim.
Yeah. So I'll give him a little bit. And, he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves most days because he seriously just picks up all my slack. And, but he's great because he would constantly say to me, like, your story started when you were a child. That's what you need to talk about. And I would look at him like, absolutely not. And I wouldn't talk about my story. I'm like, nobody wants to hear about my past. And, when you read my book, it gets even deeper. I said it a few times. There's so many layers of my childhood that every waking second, I'm like, stop and don't judge. Stop and don't judge. Because there are so many shitty things that happened to me as a child and as a teenager. And so I thought, That was supposed to get buried. We'll hide all of that. We're not going to talk about that. If I don't talk about it, if I move to a different city and I make new friends in Dartmouth and not in New Bedford, we're not going to have to dig up all of those things that happened as a child. And I even thought at some point, like I moved to Hawaii before I moved back, and I was just like, if I move far away from all of this, I don't have to ever discuss it.
Wow, you weren't playing. You were like, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going far away as I can.
We're
going
to go really far away and we're going to start our life all over. But it kept always coming back, right? And, you know, when I was going through the heart stuff, I started really inspiring people. So that's when I started actually talking. Prior to COVID, I, you know, started talking about my heart stories. Mm. Like I got diagnosed with a heart condition when I was pregnant for my daughter. Mm. And I had a heart attack, I don't know, 3.5 years ago. Mm. And so I always thought that that was the motivating factor of my story. I run all these Spartan races since the doctors told me I couldn't run. Mm. But it was never that. It was never, I mean, it is about that. And I'll talk more about that too. But it was about my past. It was about my childhood, because if I didn't have that childhood, I wouldn't be the person that had to prove the doctors wrong. I wouldn't be that person who fights for my children. And I would always look at my kids or look at someone else and say, the reason why I do everything I do is for them. Mm. I am that motivator. I am that inspiration. I want my kids to look at me and be like, wow, she's been through everything and look where she is. And it's, you know, everybody defines success differently. What I think is successful and what someone else thinks successful. I want you to define that for yourself, because that's so important. Because, you know, whether it's owning businesses or being really great at the job that you're doing or being a stay-at-home mom and just surviving, that's successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody has a different, you know, viewpoint of what that actually is. But for me, it was proving my younger self wrong. Mm. Because I was so often told that I was going to amount to nothing, that I came from a place where I was predominantly growing up one of the only white kids in a lot of programs that I was in. Mm-hmm. And all of my friends were of different ethnicities and different colors. I never even saw color. And I'm not going to lie, and I'll get brunt for this, until it became a thing. Mm. And I've even raised my kids to not think about that. And since it became more, you know, relevant, I think it's so important to bring awareness to our children of how important it is to recognize, you know, our color, our, you know, the things that are super important in making sure that everybody has a say and everybody is, you know, is equal. Because growing up, that's all I saw. It's all I saw, like being that only white girl and then being surrounded by other people not realizing, and then getting older, realizing that being white was a privilege. And I didn't even think about that, because when I'm just like, well, my story is just as bad as yours. And they're like, well, imagine being of color. And that was like so powerful. I had a conversation with someone. I was just like, shit, like, mm-hmm. you're right. And those conversations were so amazing to have with other people, because it really changed my viewpoint and it changed how, you know, the things that we talk to our kids about and why it's so important, and the Black Lives Movement and why it's so important. And it was really like an amazing thing, because I was from this area where everything was just awful. And, you know, growing up, it was all of my friends that kept me going. It was the teachers. It was the, you know, the guidance counselors. It was all of the, you know, mentors growing up. I was in programs like Upward Bound and New Directions. And, you know, some people know what that is and some people don't, but they were programs to help kids literally get out of the ghetto.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like a college bridge program where they would take you to a local college. Ours was UMass Dartmouth, and you would stay there for the summer. You take summer classes. You'd even take college classes. I think I had my first semester of college pretty much done just being in that program. Wow. I had all of these college credits because of being in this program. And it showed me that there's so much more out there. Like they paid for my college applications, and, you know, they were just like, this program is here to help you. And I took advantage of that from a really early age. And I mean, I'm friends with almost every single person that I was in those programs with, and seeing where we all came from and where we all are is one of the most amazing things in the world to me. It's truly amazing.
Let me ask you this. When you were growing up, we're going into your teen years now. So you're mm-hmm. you're in high school or maybe even middle school. Were there any mentors or role models that were physically in your life, meaning like not on TV, not somebody that you were aspiring to be, who was untouchable or you couldn't get to them. Was there, who was in your life at that time? There was a few people in my life. It's so crazy. Now I hear your story, Jen. We're not too different. We have very similar paths. Interestingly enough. So, but I had a couple key people in my life that got me through some tough times and some of those mindset moments where you're like, this is the story that's written for me and I have to live with it. But they right. came into my life and they were like, who told you that? who said that right. that was true? So who were some of those folks in your life at that point in your life?
So I feel like I had some really good teachers that were really good role models in junior high, especially junior high to high school, where I lived in New Bedford. Across the street from us was this amazing couple. Their names were Karina and Donna, and they lived across the street. And for some reason, I don't know how we became connected, but maybe because we hung out in their backyard. I'm not sure, but they became almost like this, they protected us, right? It's really weird because in hindsight, like, I'm not sure how it happened because I was so young, but this couple just, they would give us lunch and they would, you know, they saw how much my dad worked when my dad was divorced. You know, my dad would work from like leave at 6 a.m, come home at 6, 7 o'clock at night, sometimes even later. So I was home with my younger brothers. And for some reason they, you know, would cook us food and we would hang at their house and we'd watch movies and they would do all kinds of stuff for us. And growing up, I didn't really think it was, I won't use the word weird, but like it was different that they did something to help me. And it's something that I never forget. Like I hear the name, like sometimes I'll hear the name Karina and I just like my whole mindset changes. I wouldn't even know how to get a hold of her. To be perfectly honest, I don't even know her last name. Mm-hmm. But she was just someone who was she was an electrician and she was just so helpful and so inspiring because they were together at a time that, you know, being married, like you couldn't do. And my backstory completely, my biological mom is with a woman to date, on her third marriage. All three of my godparents are either gay, lesbian or drag queen. So that is so normal to me. Like that's a whole story in itself. It's like that, like being gay or being different that was so normal to me. And so like this couple that would take care of us, they were just all in. And for years until we moved. And then after we moved, and I mean, we didn't have cell phones. We had pagers, but like we had no way of getting a hold of people. So like we kind of never really saw them after we moved into a different neighborhood. And it's heartbreaking because they really inspired me to be better people. Yeah. Like they just have randomly helped this family that they didn't have to help for years, you know, would cook for us and do stuff for us and take us places. And it was just out of the kindness of their hearts. And I look back at people that inspired me and it was them. They didn't have to do that. You know, my dad was a super hard worker and I always tell everyone he is one of my role models. He just had three kids and had to take care of them. So he would work 80 hours a week to take care of his children. Wished he was around a little bit more growing up, but you know, he did what he had to do to take care of us. Uh-huh. But it's the things that my dad did growing up. Like I think I created some animosity there at some point in my life because I was bitter that he wasn't around as much. But as I became an adult, I realized why I do what I do. And you know, for me, especially I was working a lot of hours after I had my daughter. I was still working a full-time job. Once I got pregnant with my middle one, I had to cut my hours back and it allowed me flexibility to be home with my kids more. Yeah. And then when I decided to start my own business, it was mainly because I wanted to be more present. Yeah. I wanted to be around my kids more. I owned several companies and I can bring my son to volleyball camp. I can put them on the bus every morning. I can be home when they get off the bus from school if I want to. And I'm at every sports game. I'm at every dance recital. And it was the things that my dad did that I resented as a child that made me appreciate it so much more as an adult.
Yeah,
that
I don't miss a damn thing
because of him.
Yeah, yeah, I don't miss a damn thing. You know, there's certain times where, you know, it just so I can't be in two places at the same time.
Yes.
But you know, I'm there to pick my son up from school every day. You know, I'm constantly there. Not that my parents weren't, my mother, not so much. My father, you know, to the same story, like he had all these, he worked four freaking jobs because he raised me by himself. And so, you know, I didn't feel that resentment so much. It was more like, damn, you work hard. Like, and what do we have to show for it? And there was, there wasn't much. And so not now, as I grew up, I realized that, you know, my father was super frugal and he still is, which is fine. He's very generous to us, but like for himself, like super frugal. So anyway, to each side, I don't want to go down that road. I have two more questions for you before we wrap up. And the first question is, what do you tell somebody that's stuck in their past? What do you do? What do you tell them?
So I guess it would be, I mean, there's so many people stuck in their past. Why are you stuck in your past? And what is it that's stopping you from being present and being in the moment? I was a yoga instructor up until, I don't know, a year ago. I just don't have time. And but I was a yoga instructor forever, and I would tell everyone to be present, to be present, to be present. Did you know, up until like, I don't know, 2 years ago, I never listened to my own advice. I would be like, well, you have to be in the moment and be relaxed and be present. And I never listened to my own advice. So anyone who listened to me over the past 10 years, thank you for listening to me. I finally started listening to myself. That was really difficult. But that was because I was stuck. I was stuck in that moment where I didn't feel like I could move forward. I kept holding on to all of this baggage. And someone used this analogy about baggage. When you have it, you hold it and it's heavy and you feel it and you're constantly thinking about it. What if you took all the things that you're holding on to, put it in a bag and put it down? It's still there and you can deal with it. But what if you just slowly pushed it away from you and stopped, you know, and started to walk away from it. And I started thinking, I'm like, well, that sounds weird. But then I actually physically started thinking about all of those things that I was being thankful for. And I started really putting them aside. I started taking this thing that's not really there and saying, this was my childhood. And these are the things that I went through. And I forgive you and I'm thankful and I need to put it in this bag and leave it here on the table. It's still going to exist, but it's not going to exist in the bag that I'm holding. And, you know, I use that analogy when I would teach yoga and I would say to release those things from our bodies, feel yourself pulling it out. As silly as that sounds, take it and hold it, feel it, look at it, see it, and recognize it. Like you went through all of this shit, like think about it, like own it. Mm-hmm. and really like start thinking to yourself like, wow, I really went through all of this stuff. Cry about it. Mm-hmm. And put it down.
Yeah.
And leave it there. And if you have to come back to it because you feel like you can't let it go yet, that's okay. But eventually start to ask yourself, why do you feel the need to keep holding on to it? What is it that is holding that to you? Is it serving a purpose to you? Is it doing anything in your daily life? We all get stressed out, and I'll use this one, right? This is superficial. Money stresses us out. No matter how many businesses I have, I am always so stressed out. I'm like, oh, I got payroll. I got this. I got to buy more equipment. I got to do this. I got to pay for all of these things. And then as I lay in bed and I go, what is it serving me to be stressed out about this? Well, I need to sleep at night. Is anything going to change in these next 8 hours when I'm thinking about all the things I got to do tomorrow? Or if I can just put it aside for right now and come back to it when I wake up, then I'll be refreshed and I'll be able to go on with my day. And that's how I started actually digging into my past. Was it was taking these superficial things that were stressing me out, like anxiety about business and, you know, oh my goodness, I got to get up and I got to get the kid on the bus and I got to do this. Take a deep breath. Joe. It's 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You don't need to do any of that. Uh-huh. Right now. So for me, it's what is holding you back? What are the things that you're holding on to? Start to recognize them. Start to either write them down, say them out loud, burn them. You know, some people don't want to talk about it. You don't have to talk about it. I'm a soundboard. If you want to talk about it, you want to tell me your story, write me an email. I'll totally listen. And I'll never judge you. I don't believe in judgment. I will observe, but I do not judge. We all have, if I can just imagine that every single person around me has the same fucked up past that I have, there's no judgment. I feel you. I understand you. And some are going to be way worse than mine. But you're not alone in the sense of we all have been in that moment. Yeah. And start thinking about the things that where you want to be.
Yeah.
Where do you want to be? And how are you going to get there?
Yeah.
And I tell everyone to start working backwards. If I want to be a millionaire, what I have to do in the course of the next 10 years, in the course of the next year, month, day, hour, minute. I live my life in 15-minute increments. When people are like, how do you balance it all? I go, well, I hire really great people and I'm able to oversee a lot of things, but I do everything in increments. So if you look at my calendar, it's all like in 15-minute increments and I give myself a buffer. So after this call, I have a 30-minute buffer to decompress. And that way I don't have to talk to anybody if I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, it's allowing me to build my time to start building towards my goal to get to where I need to be. And so no matter what your vision is, start thinking about how you're going to get there and start letting go of all of those things.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. I think when we start imagining about the future, it takes us away from the past. Steve Harvey said this, and it keeps coming up for me this week. He said, your imagination is the preview of life's coming attractions.
I love that.
And I was like, man, I need to imagine more. I need to use my imagination more. And then going back to the bag, I forget where I heard this from, but it was something similar. It was like, wearing a backpack and filling it full of rocks. And each rock was something from your past that you keep bringing with you. And they said, if you don't do anything with that backpack full of rocks, if you don't start letting them out of the bag's going to get so heavy where it's going to take you down. Period.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've seen it. I've seen my father go through multiple heart attacks, triple bypass surgery, you know, because of the stress he was under. Right. I saw my mother deteriorate, you know, because the loss of her family unit, and the loss of her mind. I mean, not that she went batshit crazy, but she stopped doing things that exercises your body and your mind. Right. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And I'm a firm believer of that. And that's what happened. That's why I'm nuts when like I'm taking my dog out for walks 3 times a day and I'm just so active, way more active than I was as a kid. It's funny, but it was because of my mother's situation and how that all progressed. So those two things right there are hopefully takeaways for you guys today and obviously what Jen said is super important, to help you deal with that past, because if you don't do something with it, it will take you over. And what Jen's doing, what Jen is doing is amazing, which is she's taking her past and she's leveraging it to inspire, to motivate, to mentor other folks that may be dealing with things, traumas in their past that are consuming them. So last question. And this is more business focused. What is one big challenge that you are working through in business this year that you hope to accomplish by the end of the year, or let's say the next 6 to 12 months?
Oh, a big business challenge. I feel like it's always a challenge. Not starting a new business. I always feel like that's a challenge, right? Because I'll be sitting somewhere. I'm like, that's such a great idea.
Let's do it.
Like, I'm like, do I want to do this or do I want to tell somebody else to do this? You know, someone will come up with an idea. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And it's a joke amongst my friends because I'm always that person. Right. And this is like kind of connecting, what you were saying before about Steve Harvey too. And I wanted to kind of piggyback on that as I move forward into, you know, my challenges, but I'm a firm believer in manifesting things. Oh. And, you know, when you have that vision of this is who I'm going to be, You become that. If I'm going to live in my past, you're going to be that person who constantly lives in your past. If you're going to be the person who's going to manifest all of these things, it's going to come to fruition. I don't know how and what it's going to look like. And when it does, then you realize why you got there, you know, but that manifestation is so big. And I think a big problem that I have is that my dreams are big. And I guess that's, you know, my husband always asks me, he's like, so when are you going to collect the paycheck? And I'm like, when I stop investing into my business. And so I think a big business challenge that I have is finally accepting the fact that I can start collecting a paycheck, because I don't. I'm like, I need to hire another person. I need another person. And I just keep taking, you know, a lot of the money that we have in the company, and I just keep growing. And I'm like, oh, we have all of this. We can do all of this. Let me start another business. And, but realizing that, you know, I'm finally at a point where I can do those things, yeah, and, you know, start really, continuing to invest in my businesses and my growth. And I just think I'm my biggest critic when it comes to business. And I am an employee driven company, which means I like to let my employees lead. And that it for anybody who is super type A, like I am so type A, it's uncontrollable. Like I tell everyone, like they're like, you're passive aggressive. I'm like, there's nothing passive about me. I am only aggressive. you know? So and I admit it. And you know, when I tell everyone, I'm like, listen, I'm not for everyone. If I'm too much for you, I get it. Just let me know. And I'll kind of back up, but I'm a lot. And I say that when I'm mentoring people too. I'm like, listen, you're going to love me or hate me, or you're going to love to hate me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a lot. But for me, it's continuing to listen to those who are, that I employ and who are part of my team, and let them grow as leaders and be there and encourage them and help them to grow, because I want them to be successful. And I don't want to be that person who has to micromanage everything that I do. And for me, that's a challenge. It's really hard for me to step back and say, all right, you're in charge of this meeting. I want to say so many things. We have a meeting coming up on Saturday. And I was telling Jim, I was like, oh, I'm going to a meeting and Lainey is going to be in charge of it. And he's like, so why are you going? And I go, well, she just wants me there for moral support. I said, but I'm actually not going to really say anything. I'm like, I'll probably end up saying something. But I pretty much said, you're going to do this. Do what you want to do. And if there's anything I need to add, we'll talk about it beforehand, but you're going to take control and you're going to do it. And she doesn't like, you know, when she first started, she's like, I just want to be a babysitter. And I'm like, there's so much more that you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And she runs two of my companies and she is a leader and she just didn't know it. But stepping back and allowing other people to help you grow in both business and in life. It's so hard to accept that. It's so hard to let other people do things to help you grow. But it has taught me so much about life, and it's taught me so much about business, that allowing that into your space is a challenge. But that's one of the biggest challenges that I personally have, and continuing to learn from it.
I love it. Okay. So your big ask of the universe on this show would be,
so my big ask.
Yes.
So it's funny, right? So you ask me, you're like, I'm going to ask you what your ask is. And I'm like, crap, what is my ask? Hmm. Well, my ask is, so anyone who is listening to this, one, if you start to say, I'm sorry, stop for a second and say, thank you. And if you have to apologize, say, thank you. And apologize. You can do both, but start consciously thinking about that. So that's my first ask. It's two part. My second is, follow me on social media. I have a book coming out. I actually thought it was one book, and after my conversation this morning, I decided to actually separate them. It was kind of like I told you, I was at a 60%. I don't know why I can't move it forward. And SA Grant gave me this amazing advice to separate it. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I need to write after I get off this podcast because I have all of the ideas. So follow me on social media. It's Jen_liveyourbestlife, both on TikTok and on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. I'm all over the place, but you know, follow me for, you know, updates on the book and my motivational speaking. If you know a stage and you need someone to talk, I'm your girl. And, I'm also doing a thank you challenge. So I'm doing the hashtag Potter thank you challenge. My 10-year-old made it up. I said, I want a thank you challenge. She goes, but mom, you have to use the name Potter in it. So it needs to be the Potter thank you challenge. So I'm on day 10. I'm going to do it for 365 days. Every single day, I get on for a minute and I literally just say what I'm thankful for and ask people what they're thankful for. So that's it.
Does she want a job at the agency? She sounds like a great brand strategist.
She really is. She and when I go to say something, she's like, mom, you're not pronouncing your R's. When you say it, you need to re-record it and change. I'm like, kid, this is how I talk. I'm from Boston. I don't know how to pronounce my R's. But it's funny because she's like, you're not saying it right. You need to record that again. And I'm like, who are you?
God,
like, who are
that you? Is funny. That is amazing. I love her. I love her. Jen, what a pleasure. You know, I finally got a chance to sit down with you one-on-one and learn more about your backstory and understand who you are as a person. And this is so important to everybody that's listening. This is the importance of story. This is the importance of sharing why you're doing what you're doing and where all that came from. Because now I have a deeper connection with Jen. Jen, you have a deeper connection with Jen because she was willing and able to share everything that she shared today. And that's how your business grows. That's how you create connections. That's how you create relationships. That's how you create a brand that is different, because different is better than better. And I'm a firm believer of that. And so thank you for being such an awesome example today on the show and sharing that story. And the big lesson here is to thank your past. Don't live in it. You have so much more life ahead of you. Focus on that, because why? When you imagine, you create the preview of life's coming attraction. So
I love that so much.
Appreciate all of you guys for tuning in again. Again, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching this, make sure you hit those likes and drop your biggest takeaway in the comments and share this and let somebody else get access to this conversation, because I know it will serve them on some level or another. So have an amazing day, guys, and we'll catch you on the next one real soon.
Thank you.
Take care.